Okay, today's daf is Bava Kamma, daf Nun Tes. We left off in daf Nun Ches Amud Beis. We are at the first word on the line is Hahu. We're up to that word, Hahu Gavra, about 15 lines before the end of the page. So we were discussing yesterday that sometimes when Nezek happens, you can't evaluate, or you're not supposed to evaluate the payment based on the value of the item that you damaged, just looking at it independently. Rather, you look at that item as part of a larger unit, and you look at the damage done to the larger unit by having damaged that smaller item. And obviously, the payment is going to therefore be a lot less because people, like we gave the mashal yesterday with the case of the house with the window, people will obviously pay a lot more for a window if they're just paying for a window than they would if you were measuring the difference between, if you were evaluating the difference between paying for a house with the window in it and paying for a house with a broken window. It's not going to change the price all that much. So when you look at the larger unit, it's generally not going to change the price all that much. So we're up to, the Gemara tells a story. Who gavred the cuts kasho mechavre? A guy cut down his friend's palm tree. Asal kamei the Resh Galusa. So they went to the Resh Galusa for a din Torah. Amrlei l'didi chazili v'tlasa te'ilsa bikina havukaimi. He says, well, I saw where that palm tree was, and there were three trees in that area. Vavushav me'azuzi. And together, that area was worth 100 zuz. So Zil Havay Tilsa and Vitalsa Vitilsa. So the Resh Galusa said, okay, so pay him 33 and a third. Meaning, in the if you evaluate what it's worth as part of the larger unit, so then it's as opposed to standing on its own, so it's worth one third of that larger unit, which is the area of three trees, which was worth 100, so you have to pay 33 and a third. So Amr Gabe Resh Galusa Didan Dinit Parcel Lomeli. What do I need to hear from Resh Galusa who is Dan his din like the Parsain, who judges cases like a parsa? I don't need to, like, parsai people. I don't need such a din. It's totally wrong. So Asal Kamed Rav Nachman, so he went to Rav Nachman. Amrlei B'shishim. Rav Nachman said, no, you don't just look at the two trees surrounding it. The way you evaluate is you assume that it's in an area with 60, and you evaluate how much an area with 60 would have been worth, and then take the percentage, the 1/60th of that, which would be the value of this tree. Amrle Rava im Amru Beniske Mamono Yomru Beniske Gufo. Rava said, no, wait a second. When do we say this idea of Shishim? That's only when it's Niske Mamono, when your animal goes and your animal damages something. But when you go and directly damage something yourself, are we also going to say this idea, this Kula, in how we evaluate the payment? Shouldn't we be a little more Machmir in how we're going to pay when it's Niske Gufo, when you damage directly and therefore evaluate it based on what you did, based on the item's worth independently and not based on what it would be worth as part of a larger unit? So I'm going to buy you the Rava. So I buy you the Rava. What makes you think there's a difference between Niske Gufo and Niske Mamono? V'Niske Gufo Maidaitech. Why would you think Niske Gufo is different? Detanya, probably because of the following Braisa. Hamavkir Karmo Shel Chavero Smadar. If a person destroys his friend's kerem, his friend's vineyard, when the grapes are not yet ripened, when they're still in the stage of smadar, ro'noso kama ha'isa yafa kodem l'chein, v'kama hi yafa li'achar mikan. We look at how much was the vineyard worth beforehand, how much is the vineyard worth afterwards, and that's what you pay. V'ilu b'shishim lo katani. But there's nothing about shishim. There's nothing about looking at this larger area and how much it would be worth as part of a larger area, as a percentage of a larger area. That we don't do. So that's why you assumed that niske gufo you don't measure by shishim. You don't measure by the percentage of the larger area. You measure niske gufo by what you actually did. So asks Abaye and Rava, wait a second, do you really think that's a special din by Niske Gufo, that there's a chiluk between Niske Gufo and Niske Mamono in that regard? Atu gabe behemaso nami mi lo tanya ki agavna? What, by behemaso, you don't think we have a brisa that says something very similar, that gives you the same impression? Detanya, we have a brisa that talks about a behema that's katmanatiya. We have a brisa that talks about an animal that's katman, that's what they added on the side, by the Rashi adds in, that katmanatiya relates to behema, otherwise there's no raya from here at all. Right? Katmanatiya, Rashi says, garsinan behema shakatmanatiya. You have to say it's a behema that's katmanatia, that cuts down a planting. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gozer Gzeres Yerushalayim Omrim, that the Gozer Gzeres in Yerushalayim used to say that Natia Bashnasa Shtei Kesef. that when it cut a sapling that was 1 year old, so you pay shtei kesef. But shtei shanim v'uzu, 2 year old sapling, arba kesef, so you pay arba kesef. Achla chaziz, if it ate it when it was shachas, right, it ate some stubble from grain in the field. Rav Yossi Aglili Omer, Nidon b'meshuyer shabo. Rav Yossi Aglili says, the way you evaluate is meshuyer shabo. What does it mean, meshuyer shabo? Says Rashi, Rowan es anosu lefima shetala kol aruga v'aruga b'imei akatsir u'meshalein. You evaluate what it would have produced. Meaning you cut it, you destroyed it when it was still at a very early stage of its development. But it was developing just fine, it would have grown into beautiful grain, so you evaluate based on what it would have become. You could end up paying a lot more than what it was worth right now. And the Chum say, no, you look at how much it was worth, how much it is worth. You don't have to look at what it would have produced. All this, again, is in the context of a Braisa that's going to try to show that even when your behema does damage, we don't always say to look at shishim. We don't always say to look at the percentage of the larger field or a larger area in evaluating the damages. We're still not done yet, but it's a long brisa. But that's still what we're trying to do. Just within this brisa, though, we have this machlokes of Yosef Aglili and the Chachamim about whether we look at future potential or not. There's a chakira in the Achronim when the Chachamim say you don't look at future potential. What does that mean? Does that mean that we only have to look at Ba'asher Usham, like the Ribbono Shel Olam judging Yishmael, right? Ba'asher Usham, that you look at what he is now and you don't pay any attention to what something is going to be much later on? Or maybe no, this is all Meltzer suggests, that maybe the idea is not just that you're looking at Ba'asher Usham, but that any pricing of anything in general takes into account future potential. Meaning, if we're going to evaluate Shachas to be worth something, if it were to remain Shachas forever, it would be worthless. It wouldn't have any value, because Shachas is almost worthless. The fact that it's worth something is because we're taking into account future potential and risks and whether it will or will not. That's all part of the pricing. So it's not that we're ignoring the future, it's that the current price reflects the future. Anyway, so achlas smadar, if the animal eats grapes while it's still smadar, while they're still very small at the beginning of their ripening, so Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Rono Sokilu Hin Anavim Omdos Libatzer. Rabbi Yeshua says, you look at the grapes as if they're fully grown, ready to be cut off the tree, the vine. And again, the Chum say, no, we don't look at potential. We look at how much it was, how much the kerem, the vineyard, was worth, how much it is worth, and the difference between the two, and that's what you pay. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Bamed Dvar Mamurim, Bizman Sha'achla, Lul Ve'gefanim, V'yichurei Te'enim. That's only if you eat the lul ve'defanim, which is the Rashi says ha'eshkolos nira bechanitas ha'gefanim v'nikar v'adayim lo parach liot ha'navim gemurim, meaning the grapes are not yet fully ripened, but the eshkolos, you could see that there are clusters already. That's if you eat it in that stage. Avol achla pagim obosar, but if you ate it in the stage of pagim, which for a fig, or bosar for a grape, which means that the grapes are there already, but they look like tiny little beans, they're very small. So then, which is a later stage of the development, that it's not just the cluster is apparent, but the grape is actually there already. If you eat it at that stage, then you can evaluate based on you look at them as if they are already fully ripened grapes, and you would pay based on that, based on what it would produce, whether they're as anav mamdol sibatzer. That's the end of the brisa. What's this whole brisa about? Why do we quote this whole brisa? Katani miha mias v'cham momrim ron osa kama haisa yafa v'kama hi yafa. The chachamim determined that how do you evaluate damage done to the vineyard or damage done to the netios? You look at how much it was worth, how much it is worth. Right, that's how you evaluate, and this is an animal doing damage. V'lo katani b'shishim, and it doesn't say you look at how much it is as a percentage of a much larger piece of land. You don't look at that. You look at how much it was worth, how much it is worth, and you see this is even when it's the behema that's mazik. So don't tell me this is all Abaye saying to Rava. Don't tell me that there's a difference. Rava, don't tell me that there's a difference between Niske Gufo and Niske Mamono. That when it comes to Niske Mamono, we look at Shishim, and when it comes to Niske Gufo, we just look at the difference in price. And you're going to try to prove that to me from the fact that you have a Brisa that by Niske Gufo, we just look at the difference of price. Don't tell me that, because I have a Brisa that says that even by Niske Mamono, we look at the difference in price. So obviously there's some chilik to be made within Niske Mamono, and that same chilik, whatever it's going to be, could also be made within Niske Gufo. No, when we say what, look at the difference between what it was worth, what it is worth, we mean b'shishim. We may not say it, but we mean it. So over here as well, we mean when it talks about niske gufo, we also mean b'shishim. We're not going to mention the idea of b'shishim every time. But when you talk about the change in value, we mean the change in value of the larger unit based on this item as a percentage of that larger unit. That's all. So Amar Abayi, Rabbi Yosef Glil, Rabbi Shmuel, Amru Dover Echad. Happens to be, once we quote this price, so just make some points about it, Rabbi Yosef Glil and Rabbi Shmuel happen to say the same thing. Rabbi Yosef Glil we had. He was three lines from the bottom on the Nun Chesem Beis. He was the one that says, Nidon Bimeshuyar Shabo, that if your animal eats a Netiyah, you look at what it would have become, what that Netiyah could have become. So Rabbi Yosef Glil says the same thing as Rabbi Shmuel. Why? Rabbi Yosef Glil had the Amr. We had Rabbi Yosef Glil already. Rabbi Shmuel the Tanya. Rabbi Shmuel is in the following brisa. Meitav Sadeu, Meitav Karmo Yishalem. Pasuk says you pay from the Meitav Sadeu and Meitav Karmo, from the best of your fields, the best of your vineyards. Meitav Sadeu shall nizik, or Meitav Karmo shall nizik, to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that means that you pay from the nizik's best. From the Nizik's best fields, from his best vineyards. Meaning, if I have vineyards and fields that are worth more than the Nizik's best, and vineyards and fields that are worth the same as the Nizik's best, I only pay from the Iddis of the Nizik. Rabbi Akiva Omer Lo Ba, Kasva Lugvos Linizakin, Min Iddis Vakavachom Laidish. And Rabbi Akiva says, no, you pay from your Iddis. The Pasuk is telling me that you pay for Nizakin from Iddis and Kavachomer, therefore you pay for Hagdish from Iddis as well. Velo Tema Kravidi Baravin, but don't say Pshat is. Now, when we say Velo Tema, we're saying when Rabbi Shmuel says you pay from the Meitav of the Nizik, what's he talking about? What's the situation where you're paying the Meitav of the Nizik? So says Gemara, Velo Tema, don't think that Rabbi Shmuel is saying Kravidi Baravin, Dam Ravidi Baravin, like Ravidi Baravin says, who says as follows, Kugon Sha'achla Aruga Bein Ha'arugos. Don't think that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that when do you pay the meitav of the nizik? My animal went and it damaged a row of produce in your field, but we have no idea the quality, what the quality of that produce was. So it's a suffix. It could be very high quality, very low quality. So Rabbi Di Baravin says that's what Rabbi Shmuel means when he says you pay the meitav. That you pay the meitav of the nizik means, since we don't know whether it was high quality or low quality, we take the highest quality of what you've got, and that's what we assume it was when I pay. No, that's not Dachi Lomri, that's not what Rabbi Shmuel says. That's not what Rabbi Shmuel means. Why? My taima, why not? What's wrong with that? It sounds reasonable. I'm not sure what I did to you. I'm not sure how I damaged you. So I should pay. I'm not sure how much I damaged you. So I should err on the side of caution and pay the maximum. So the answer is more because I'm motzi mechaver alavaraya. When you're not sure how much you damage a person, you don't pay more, you pay the least amount. I'm motzi mechaver alavaraya. Someone wants to get money out of me, they're going to have to prove to me that I owe them that money. Ella b'meitav de l'kamei, umay niyu ki hech de salik. So rather, what does it mean? It means b'meitav de l'kamei, that when Rabbi Shmuel says that you eat that aruga, you pay what it was, what you pay the meitav of the nizik, it means that how good this could have become. That's what it means. When I damage something at an early stage of its development, so you pay based on what it could have become, right? What it would have been in the Kiyech the Salik, Rashi says, Bimos HaKatzir. What it would have become during the days of the Katzir. So that's exactly what Rabbi Yosef Glili said. That's why Abai says, Rabbi Yosef Glili and Rabbi Shmuel say the same thing. Because Rabbi Yosef Glili also said that Nidon B'Mushir Shabo. You look at what the item would have become, not what at what the item is. Good. Amar Mar. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda Amar Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bemedvar Mamur Mishach Lul Vegefanim Vichure Te'enim. So Rabbi Shimon Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Shimon that when do we say that you see how much it was worth, how much it is worth? That's only if you ate the Lul Gefanim and the Yichure Te'enim. But if you eat the Pagim or the Bosar, then you look at it as if they're fully ripened fruits already. Right? That's the that was the comment of the Rabbi Shimon's. So says the Gemara Hasmadar, that implies that if it were at the stage of smadar, ro'no son kiluan of mamdos libatzer, that they hold that if it's already smadar, if it's already a little bit developed, then you look at it as if it's a fully ripened grape. But ema seifa. But then we go on to say, achla pagim obosar hu deronos kiluan of mamdos libatzer. When do you look at it when it's as a fully ripened grape? Only when it's when you eat pagim or bosar, which is when it's already the size of a little bean. Hasmadar ro'no sakami yafav kama isa yafav, which implies that at that in-between stage called smadar, when it was at that earlier stage called smadar, you would only look at it as the difference in value before the damage and after the damage. So it's a stira in implication, right? The implication of saying that it's only lul vegefanim is that if it were smadar, you would pay you would pay as if it were fully ripened fruit. The implication in saying that if you eat the pagim, that implies that if it were smadar, you would not pay the value of fully ripened fruit. You would only pay the difference between what it was worth before and what it is afterwards. So that's the kasha. It seems to be a steer in the implication. So says the Gemara, Amaravina Kroch Vitani. You have to read it all together as one line. When do we say you look at the change in value from before the damage to after the damage? That's when you eat the lulva gefanim and yichuriteinim. Aval achla smadar pagin obosar. Now we throw smadar in with pagin obosar. That's the key, right? But if you were to eat smadar, pagin, or bosar, ronos okilon of mamdu sivatsar, then you would already treat it like it was a fully ripened grape ready to go. Ihachi Rabbi Shimon Yehuda hain Rabbi Shua. Says the Gemara, that's a great pshat in Rabbi Shimon Yehuda. Problem is, then he's saying the same thing as Rabbi Yeshua, because Rabbi Yeshua was the one that said in the very top line of the page, achla smadar, Rabbi Yeshua omer, that if it's only at the stage of smadar, you can already look at it as if it's a nav mamdos libatzer, as if it's a fully ripened fruit. So you see that Rabbi Yeshua apparently is saying the same thing as the Rabbi Shimon's within this pshat. So you could be nayu kachash guf nav lomasaimi. Says the Gemara, no, they're not saying the same thing. The nafkamina between them is, do you take off from the payment that which the grapes would have weakened the vines? Meaning by taking the grapes off of the vines at an early stage, the vines never had to bear the load of ripened grapes. It never had to, either the weight or the nutrients that the vine is going to provide for the ripened grape are not going to be lost from the vines. So do you deduct that from the cost? Meaning if you're going to evaluate it as a ripened grape, they're arguing whether you deduct the change in value for the negative that the vine would have gone through had the grapes grown to be ripe on that vine, because now the vine is worth a little bit more because it's still strong and never had to bear the load of the grapes. But velomasaimi, we don't know who says what, but they definitely argue about that, of whether you have to be worried about that. Abaye Amar Abaye says, no, masaimi. What do you mean we don't know? We know very well who says what. Mantana dechayish lekachash kufna. Who's the one that says you take into the cheshbon the weakening of the vine that would have happened had it held into maturity? Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. That's Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. How do I know that Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda holds you take such a thing into account? So now the daf gets a little more easier. The Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, Onas einu mishalim esatzar, mireshet sofa litztar tachas baila. If a man is ma'anes a woman, right? So we know that there's a knas that he definitely has to pay. What about the tsar? Right? What if a man is ma'anis a basula? So there's pain when a basula has bia for the first time. Does he have to pay for that pain? So Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, no, you don't pay for that pain, because one day she was going to go through that pain anyway, so she was going to get married, she was going to have that pain, tachas baila anyway, so you're not going to have to pay for that tsar. So what do you see? What does that have to do with us? So Rashi says, Alma menaken menatashlumin kfimashasid lahachish. If anyway there was going to be a weakening later on, there's going to be some sort of trouble later on, or some sort of some reason to assume that had things gone the way they were planned on going, that there would have been a decrease in value or something to deduct. So we take that into account. Meaning, so the same thing by the grapes. It had the grapes grown to their full to be fully ripened, the vine would have been worth a little bit less. So we take that into account. So you take what we expect to happen in the future into account. So Amrullo, so they said to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya, Eino doma nevelos baratzon lenevelos baones. You can't compare someone who's nevelos baratzon to someone who's nevelos baones. Right? The tsar of someone who's nevelos baratzon, who willingly has bia, is nowhere near the tsar of a woman who was raped. So he says, in principle, maybe, but the idea that you would take future issues into account, but practically it's not shayach, because you can't compare someone who's nevelos baratzon, someone who's nevelos baones. Now, halacha l'maisa, which way do we paskin? Do we take these future things into account or not? So the Rush writes that pasuk maharam halevi, that we don't deduct the weakening of the vine that would have happened. Why? To Amru lo le Rabbi Shimon eno dome mefuyesas la anusa. Because Amru lo is plural, right? The Chachamim said to Rabbi Shimon, you can't compare the Nevelos Baratzon to Nevelos Baones. V'yachad Ram alach Kram. So essentially, Rabbi Shimon is the one who's saying that we would take it into account. Amru lo is the Chachamim. Sounds like a group of people. The Chachamim say, we don't take it into account. So if you have the Chachamim against Rabbi Shimon, you're going to pass them like Yachid V'Rabim, Halach HaKram, you're going to pass them like the Chachamim. So that's why we don't take it into account. Va'od, and furthermore, he says, Tekamim Asnisim Brises Lislu, Donus Mishalim Esitzar, Vahinud Lok Rabbi Shimon. Look through Shas, you'll find plenty of Brises and Mishnais that talk about someone who rapes a girl paying Tsar. So you do pay for the Tsar, and that's against Rabbi Shimon. That's the Psak of Ma'aram Halevizal. However, says the Rush, V'nir Ali, D'Menachim Kachash, Kufnak Rabbi Yossi, Yukaben Azai, Damar Nechi Chai, Nechi Mizonos. He says, but I think that we do paskin that you deduct those prices, as we're going to see soon in the next couple of lines of the Gemara. What do I do with the Amru Lo? V'Amru Lo Rabbi Shimon Islu Nami Kachash Kufna El De Pligi Baha Rabbi Shimon Discovered the Sar Shalom Velos Bonus Eino Gadlum Shalom Velos Bratzon. Like we just said before, the Rabbanan don't disagree with Rabbi Shimon in principle. They agree in principle that if there's going to be Tsar anyway later on, that you would deduct that. But what they're saying is there's not going to be that tsar anyway. There's going to be a much lesser level of tsar, because Nevelos Baratzon, when she's with her husband, who's going to be much more sensitive, there's not going to be a sense of tsar, the same sense of tsar that she has when she's the same pain that she has when someone's ma'anes her. But in principle, they would agree that if it was the same tsar that she would have had anyway, then Enochinami, you would deduct that. So Adraba, it's a raya that everyone agrees. For Rabbanan Tsari, the Yosef Tsar ben Nevelos Baonos, V'Osu Yisron Tsar Yishalim. The Rabbanan aren't saying you pay the entire tsar, you pay the difference between the tsar she would have experienced and the tsar that she is experiencing. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, Amar Rabbi, Hani Tanayim, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Amru Davar Echad. You should know the following Tanayim, say the same, these Tanayim and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, the following Tanayim and Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda say the same Shita. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Adam, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda is what we just said, with the woman who's Nevelas, that you deduct from the payment, you don't have to pay for the Tsar, because anyway she would have suffered the Tsar, she would have had that Tsar eventually anyway. Hani Tanayim, Mayhi, who are these Hani Tanayim that we're referring to that hold like this? The Tanya, we have the following, Rabbi Yosef. Let's say if a man hits a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry, right? So when you determine the Dmei Vlados, do you say, well, wait a second, okay, the children, the Dmei Vlados are worth $200, but you know, the chaya that would have the doctor that you would have needed to the midwife you would have needed to help you deliver charges $100. So you save that money, you don't need a midwife anymore. So $100, I only have to pay you $100, not the full $200. So that's what Rabbi Yossi says. Yeah, you deduct the amount that you would have paid for a chaya. Ben Azai says you deduct the amount you would have paid for mizonos even. What's mizonos? So Rashi says, shutzar klos val mizonos ishto bimei kishuya. Toward the end of pregnancy, it gets difficult, and you have to, the labor pains, you start getting various contractions, whatever, and you have to pay for a little extra food because women need a little extra food at that time. But now she's not going to have that stage of pregnancy, so there's nothing to worry about. So you don't have to pay for that. So therefore, you take into the cheshbon in the future. You deduct from the payment what's going to happen in the future. If you're going to say that you deduct the amount for the midwife, then for sure you would deduct the amount for the mezonos. But if you hold you deduct the amount for the mezonos, you would not necessarily deduct the amount for the chaya. Because the guy could always say, my wife, she's so good, she could deliver her own baby. She doesn't even need a midwife. She could deliver the baby all by herself. It's a little bit difficult to understand how someone could have such a tiny. The Gemara in Sota discusses that how the midwife Shifra and Pua in Mitzrayim would say Kichayosena, that they weren't delivering the Jewish babies because the Jewish women were themselves chayos. So Frek the Gemara in Misach Sota, Kichayosena, still a chaya by a chaya. Right, a midwife, if she's going to deliver a baby, if she's pregnant, she's delivering a baby, she still needs a midwife to deliver a baby. It doesn't matter that you're a chaya, you still need someone else to deliver your baby. So the Gemara over there assumes that no, it means that kichaya, if I recall, I'm not sure what the Gemara's answer is, but I think it was that no, kichaya osena means they're helping each other out. They don't need me. That they're each able to help each other out, so they don't need professional chayos. But over here, a guy to make a taina that my wife is such a pakicha, she's so clever, she's so smart, she doesn't need a chaya. I'm not sure how that fits with that Gemara, so we'll leave it as a kasha. It's a Gemara in Sota. Okay. Anyway, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, Avud Uvda Kavasid, Rav Nachman B'Shishim. Going way back, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, passing like Rav Nachman to evaluate based on this Shishim evaluation, right? Based on the item as percentage of the field. Lishnach, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, Shamu Dikla Agav Katina Da'ara, that they evaluated a dekel based on a parcel of land. V'hilchsa Kavasid, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, Bedikla Dharma, and we pass like Rav Papa and Rav Huna Brei Yeshua by a Dikla Dharma, but Vilsa Kavasei Reish Kalusa Bedikla Parsa. But we pass like the Reish Kalusa when it comes to a Dikla Parsa. What's a Dikla Parsa? So that's what Rashi says. Chashuv Huma Od V'Neishim Befnei Atzma. Meaning you would evaluate the tree as part of the larger piece of land when it's a Dikla Arma, when it's not such a Chashuv a tree. But when it's a Dikla Parsa, when it's a very Chashuv a tree, you're supposed to evaluate the tree independently. The Rush explains a little bit better. He says that Dikla Arma Hainu Dikla Shelo Nigmar Gidulo V'Lo Higia Lekach She'Ro'i La'Okro L'Shoslo B'Makom Acher. A Dikla Arma is a dekel that has not yet fully grown to the extent that if you were to uproot it and try to plant it somewhere else, it wouldn't work. Hilka chavi keperoshen gemurim. So therefore, we view it as if it's peroshen gemurim. We view it as if it's fruits that are not yet grown. V'nisham besamach, and therefore you would evaluate it based on percentage of the larger area. But a dikla parsa'a is a dikla shenigmar gidulo. It's already fully grown. V'igia lekach shem yakru v'shaslu b'makamachri yiskayim, and it got to the point where if you were to uproot it and plant it somewhere else, it would be fine. Hilka chavi kaperus gemurin. Therefore, we view it as if it's fully ripened fruit, and therefore v'shem nosu b'fnei asmo k'Rabbi Shimon. That's why we would evaluate it based on its own, like Rabbi Shimon said, right? Rabbi Shimon says if you eat the pagam or the bosar, you look at another home dosli batzer. So the same thing over here. You would look at a tree that's fully grown that you can move from one place to another and view it as if it's fully grown fruit and evaluate it independently. Now a story. Eliezer Zeira Havasayim Misani Uchmi. Eliezer Zeira was wearing black shoes. The Kai Bishukat in Narda, and he was walking through the Shuk of Narda wearing black shoes. Ashkud the Beresh Kalusa, so the Resh Kalusa found him doing that. Vamalei Maishna Hani Misani, they said, why are you wearing these black shoes? Amalahu the Kama Vilna Yerushalayim, he says, it's a sign of Avelus. The black shoes are a sign of Avelus on Yerushalayim. Amrulei At Chashivas the Sabula Yerushalayim, you think you're chashiv enough to have a public show of Avelus on Yerushalayim? Sover Yuara Hava. So they thought that's terrible Yuara. That's such religious arrogance to flaunt that he's someone who's able to be Mesabel in Yerushalayim, who really can publicly express emotions over Yerushalayim. So Asiyah v'Chavshua. So they incarcerated him. They put him in jail. Amr Luhu Gavar Rabba. So he said to them, no, take me. I'm a Gavar Rabba. So Amrulei, they said, Minayadinan. How do we know that that you're a gavra rabba? Of course, you're going to say you're a gavra rabba. You're going to say that you're a big tzaddik and everything because you want us to let you out of jail. But how do we know you're a gavra rabba? Who's going to give you a bechina that you're a gavra rabba? So Amar Lahu, it's a question. Are you allowed to do that? You're allowed to say gavra rabba in order to save yourself. So that's what the Gemara in the Nedarim says in Samach Beis, that in a place where lo yadile, where they don't know you, shari lo due, you're allowed to let them know that who you are lahatzilatzim in order to save yourself. So you're allowed to do that. Notwithstanding, the Gemara in Ksubis, I think, tells the story of the guy who I forgot which Amora it was, but there was a guy whose stuff kept on being stolen from his field, and one time that an Amora happened to be walking right by the field, and the guy thought he was the Ganav, so he captured him in a bag, and he was ready to throw him into the river, and until he identified, he started screaming, and he identified himself. So he said, no, I'm a big tzaddik, and the guy dropped the bag and ran away. And for the rest of his life, the Amora felt bad that he had used his standing as a tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham to save his own life. That you should never be mishtamish. You use your Torah as a means to gain whatever benefit. Now, unclear what his choice would have been in that case, but he was still so upset that he had to use his Torah to benefit. In fact, the Ben Yoyada writes over here, notice he didn't say Talmud Chacham Ana, right? He didn't say Chacham Ana. He said Gavra Rabba Ana, because Gavra Rabba could be interpreted as I'm a rich man, I'm an important man, I'm a politician, right? So since it could be interpreted in many ways, he wanted to go in that direction rather than say use the Kisra Shel Torah, to be mishtamish b'Kisra Shel Torah, to use his Torah as a way of getting him out. But anyway, so they said to him, how are we supposed to know you're a Gavra Rabba? So Amar Lo, he said, Yatun Boi Minayim Milso, Ana Boi Minayichu Milso. He says, I'll leave it up to you. You can ask me a Shaila, or I'll ask you one. Either way, we'll play a game, and you'll see. If I turn out to be smart, then you'll know I'm a Gavra Rabba. So Amar Lo, Boi Yat. So they said, how about you ask? You know, we don't want to ask. So Amar Lo, he said, okay, I'll ask. Hai man dekatz kufra my mashalim. If a person cuts down a kufra, which is the equivalent of boser in anavim, it's a stage within dates that's the equivalent to the boser within the boser stage of grapes. So what do you pay? So Amalei mashalim to make kufras. They said, what do you mean? You pay for the kufra. You pay for what it's worth right now. So he said back to them, Vahavu Tamri. But one day it was going to grow into a fully ripened date, and now it's not. So how can you only pay for the kufra? So Amalei mashalim to make tamri. He said, oh, you're right. You should pay for the fully ripened date. So Amar Lahu, Valav Tami Shakal Minei. But you didn't take a date from him, you took a kufra from him. So why should you have to pay for the fully ripened date? So Amar Lahu, so he said, okay, you're annoying. Emelanat, why don't you just tell us? Okay, we don't know. So Amar Lahu, Beshishim. He said, the way you evaluate is based on this Shishim evaluation, with the karka around it, that it's part of this larger karka, and you view it as a percentage of that larger karka. Amar Lahu, Man Amar Kavaseich. They say, okay, that sounds brilliant, but who says like that? How do we know that that's true? So Amar Lahu, Hashmuel, you don't need to trust me. Shmuel's around and his Beis Din is around. Why don't you go ask? So they said, yes, he's taka right, that you're supposed to pay it with shishim, and they left him alone. A number of things from this story, though. The Chuvas Mari Mibrona, Simon Sadi Vav, is quoted in the Shor Mitzvah Balach over here, that you see from this Gemara, anytime someone is Mishana, to do something different than other people do. It could be the nicest minhag in the world. It could be something that's really wonderful. When you are dafka doing something different, that's bad. A person is not supposed to try to stick out and try to appear different than everybody else. That's what the Taz writes in Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kuf Yud Gimel, when the Shulchan Aruch talks about the din of bowing during Shmon Esrei. So the Taz writes, in the name of Tosfos, that you're not supposed to be machzik yourself as more kosher than the rest of the tzibur. And that's why, Tosfos asks, what's the big problem with bowing at every bracha? Mamakach, let the guy be mishtachave. He wants to be mishtachave. Let him be mishtachave. It's wonderful. So Tosfos says, no one else is doing it, so you don't do it either. That's not that's something we always try to avoid. That's one issue over here. Another just quick point: the Maariv Chayes over here writes that even though we paskin b'davar shel tzar kol arotza lasos atzmo talmud chacham osa, that when it comes to an issue of tzar, anyone is allowed to take upon himself chumras. There's no such thing as yuhara when it comes to something that gives a person tzar. He says tzarich lomar dafka tainus v'shar si gufim. That's only when it's a real tzar, like tainus or something like that. Aval b'siyum asani uchmi ein kan davar tzar kol kach. But to put on black shoes, that's not a big issue of tzar. Umneze asur lehislabish b'malbush talmud chacham b'mnei yuara. It's asur for a person to wear the malbush of a talmud chacham. That's still considered a problem of yuara when a person wears a malbush that's not his. Tosfos over here discusses what was the Jewish practice in those days. Did Jews wear black shoes or did Jews wear white shoes? Right, Tosfos says mashma shalom hayu regilim b'menalim shkar. It sounds from here that we didn't wear black shoes. That a guy was wearing black shoes in order that they shouldn't recognize that he's a Jew. So it sounded like Jews generally did not wear black shoes in those days. But says Tosfos v'tema, the parakama de Beitza, the first parak of Beitza Tanan, ein mishalchem mina lavam b'yom tov, you don't send a gift of a white shoe on Yom Tov, meshet tzarech Beitza sagir la'ashchiro, because you still need to blacken it up. It's not a complete item, right? It still needs to be blackened up, so it's mukta. It's not something that's usable as is. So what does that imply? Sounds like they wouldn't wear white shoes. They would only wear blackened shoes. They would only wear black shoes. So did we wear black shoes or did we not? So va'omer rabbeinu tam daminu vaday hoye shachar aval ritzua so yilvenos u'masan yuch midahacha u'masachs tainus heinu aminu v'ritzua sakol hoye shachar. We always wore black shoes, but we used to wear white straps, white shoelaces. So his the thing that he did different was that he put on black shoelaces as well. He says that explains the Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that normally Yaharik Val Yavar only includes three Yisurim. We're going to discuss maybe a fourth tomorrow. But Yaharik Val Yavar generally includes three Yisurim. But the Gemara says, B'shas HaShmad, even to change your Arkas HaDemesani, your shoe straps, is going to be Aser, as B'shas HaShmad. Meaning if the guy wants you to change your shoe straps to be like a guy, and to, you know, to as a Shmad, so then you're not allowed to do that even if your life is at risk. So, the point is, what was different about our shoes than the Gaim's shoes, says Rabbeinu Tam, based on what we just said. It's not the shoe, it's the shoe straps that were different. We all wore black shoes. It's the issue of the straps that were different. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Achla Peres Gemurim, that if a person eats Peres Gemurim, so you pay for the Peres Gemurim. You pay for the fruits as they're worth. My time. Hadi Omer Achmano, Bir B'stei Acher, Melamet Sheshamin Al Gavi Asada, that which we evaluate the fruits as part of the field, Hani Milim that's only when the fruits are still need the field in order to grow. But once they're ready, fully ripened and fully grown, so then you wouldn't evaluate them as part of the field. Since these don't need the field, so you pay for them as they are. Rav once was done a case like Rav Meir, and in terms of just issuing Pesach Halacha without being done an actual case, he issued a Pesach Halacha like Rav Shimon. Done Rav Krav Meir, when did he pass? When did he don a case like Rav Meir? D'tanya, kas of l'risham l'chasmelo l'sheni v'chasmelo of the k'subasa de Rav Meir. If a woman were to write a shtar to a man were to try to sell a field that's meshubah to his wife's k'suba, and the wife refuses to sign on it, and then he tries again, and the second time he tries it with someone else, the wife does sign on it, so then she loses that field for her k'suba, according to Rav Meir, because she showed that she wasn't just signing because of pressure, because she didn't sign the first time. So we see that she's able to stand up to the pressure, and obviously she really meant to sign off on it that the sale should be valid. So that's Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda Omri Chali Shatomer Nachas Ruach Hasis L'Bayil. Rav Yehuda could say, no, it was a Shalom Bayis thing. I just didn't want to get my husband upset, but I certainly had no intention of really giving up in that field. Atem Malachem Alayu. So in that sense, in that case, Rav was once done to Paskin like Rav Meir. Upasuk Hilchsuk Rabbi Shimon, and he would paskin in the yeshiva in his public shiurim like Rabbi Shimon. Ki adetan Rabbi Shimon Omer Achla Peres Kumurin Mishalem as Peres Kumurin Imsa Asayim Sasayim Sasayim. That if she ate Peres Kumurin, you would pay Peres Kumurin Asa or Sasayim. Mishnah Magdish Betok Sdei Chaver Shalom Bereshus. If I pile up my produce in my friend's field without permission, Vachaltan Behemto Shal Bal Asada, and the behema of the Bal Asada eats it, Pater Vim Huskaben Bal Agadish Chayiv. If the behema gets hurt by it, so then I'm chayiv for putting my stuff there. If I have permission to put it there, the Baal Sad is going to be Chayiv. This seems to be against Rabbi. The Baal HaBayis has to accept upon himself that he's going to be Shomer it. So Rav Papa, when you're dealing with the guy who's the Shomer of the neighborhood, so when you tell him that he could put his stuff there, when he's the one that deals with all the produce of the neighborhood, that's the same thing as saying, you can put my stuff here, and I'll take care of it and I'll watch it for you. So it's as if he was Mekabel Achrayus Beferish.